And take your Bible, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. I have about four scripture references I'm going to have to look at this morning. I'm going to ask us to stand for the first one and give you a chance to stretch out a little bit. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 21. Please stand with me, even if you don't have a Bible. I want you to get stretched out good here. And I'm praying that you will hear the Word of God this morning and let God speak to your heart. I'm not your entertainer this morning. I'm not here to try to make friends and influence people. But I will stand before God one day and give an account for this day. And I want to be able to do it with joy. 1 Kings 18, verse 21 says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word." And let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, you know the battle that is raging in this place today. And the devil is trying to do everything he can to try to squelch the word. Lord, I know that you are greater and you are mightier. And I pray that you would send the angels from heaven, that they might build a hedge about me, that I might be able to preach with liberty and do what needs to be done, that you might be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We're going to look at a couple more places in a minute, but I want to try to bring this little picture alive here. Elijah is saying, he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" It's a picture here of a bird hopping from one branch to another on a tree and never, ever actually settling down. Now, that's a terrible place to be in your life. If you can imagine that I'm not satisfied here, and then I'm going to go over here and I'm not satisfied there, and then I'm going to go over there and I'm going to see what's happening over there, and I'm not satisfied over there. And by the way, that's what happens so many times is people never can seem to quite settle down anywhere. And that's why you come into a service like we're having this morning and you will come into a place like this where God moves and where the Word of God is proclaimed and the question can be asked, "Are you sure you're going to go to heaven?" And some people immediately throw their hand up, "Yes, I'm sure." And then you get around to some people not sure, and then you ask a simple question, "Well, are you ever concerned about it?" And the no hands go up. They're still hopping from one place to another, and they don't seem to be settled down. Don't make me come down there like you're 3-year-olds. Now, I put up with this for 2 Sundays in a row. Sister Ann, I'm sorry. You get on that end of the pew, you sit in the middle of the pew, and you sit on that end. That's good. That's good stuff. You say, "Preacher, you shouldn't have done that. You're out of order." No, I'm sorry. Souls are hanging in the balance. You can sit there and grin all you want to. Honey, I don't think it's funny. When you sit there and raise your hand, you're saved, and you're trying to raise her hand up like she's the champion of the world, that she's supposed to be saved, when she knows she ain't saved. This is the same kind of stuff Elijah dealt with in his day. He said, "I'm trying to tell y'all what the Word of God says. We got a crowd over there that's a bunch of false teachers and Baal worshipers, and they just say, well, anything goes, do your own thing." But we see right here that Elijah finds himself in a quandary. He's surrounded by false teachers. He's surrounded by false doctrine of Baal. And Baal's preachers are all lined up. And they, as it were, have presented their case to try to get folks to believe what they believe. Now, hey, that's where we are today, isn't it? Hey, there's always somebody vying for your attention. There's always somebody You turn on the TV, there's somebody that comes on there, whether they're trying to sell something or whether it's a drama or a comedy, they're trying to make their reality show just a little bit more wilder than the last reality show, so you'll tune in and watch their reality show. They're trying to make their comedy more cruder and more, it goes to the basis of what we say is funny today in America. And I like that MeTV. You can go over there and watch Dick Van Dyke. And that's when comedy was really clean and funny. And now you look at what we have. I don't even watch the mess. I see enough of the junk on the stupid commercials. Any adult that will sit and watch a comic strip on TV is retarded in their brain. I'm sorry. If you're an adult and you can't wait to see The Simpsons or Family Guy, then I'm going to tell you what, I feel sorry for you. I'm just being honest. It don't make no sense to me, because just what little bit I've seen on the commercials goes to the base of the very gutter of what the world today says is humorous. And you'll hop over there to that for a while and you say, I like this. What they're trying to see, how crude they can get it without being took off the air, to try to draw people from something that's maybe a little bit wholesome. I don't even know if anything at all is on TV wholesome anymore. And they try to draw you away from that, to draw you to that. Amen. I'm not trying to be rough this morning. I'm just going to be honest with you folks. I come in here this morning and it's all I do is just keep from just resigning this morning. I'm just at that point right now. I really am. I even went over there and looked up that scripture. Man can't serve two masters. And I tell you what, it just disgusts me to see what the way the church has got to be, and that people don't have no more concern for the things of God than they do. It's no use in it. I mean, it's no use in it at all. This is something that's going to make a difference between life or death. Right. Y'all know I got rotten teeth and I got gums. My gums are messing up and everything else. And I told my wife the other day, I said, as much as I hate to go to the dentist, I'm going to go. When I come back from Tennessee in 2 weeks, I said, I'm going to make an appointment and I'm going to the dentist. Now that tooth thing is not life threatening, but it's very annoying. You say, is that why you preaching this way this morning? No, if I did, I'd preach this way every week. It was because of my teeth. I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say is, you sit in here week after week and you say, well, that's just a little annoying. That preaching's a little bit annoying. That singing's a little bit annoying, but I can make it. I can truck on through. And you can't wait to get out of here. You're hopping between two opinions. You can't settle on one thing. You'll leave here and somebody else will draw your attention and there you'll be. Amen. You know why the liberal churches are full this morning? Very simple. They've drawn good people out of good churches and they've drawn them over there because come over here, we'll entertain you. You ain't going to hear no hard Bible preaching over here. Ain't nobody over here going to tell your youngins, your grand youngins where to sit and how to sit and how to act. Oh, don't worry about that over here. Hey, you better be glad somebody cares enough about them to tell them how they ought to act. Amen. Hey, I know you're doing the best you can. I know that. But we see it every day in church. You see, well, then people over there, see, they really got it going on. They got a whole yard full of cars. That don't mean a thing. I'm getting tired of hearing about that too. Everywhere you go, you get a bunch of preachers together. They want to, how many do you have on Sunday? How many do you have on Sunday? How many are you running on Sunday? I took a hint with him old preacher. He said, we had about 25. He said, but I'm running about 2,000. He said, I'm running them all over the county trying to get them in church. That's the way I feel. Amen. And everywhere I go, and you know, people that knows I've been here 15 years, I say, well, you've been there, wow, 15 years. What kind of ministry do you have? I said, we're trying to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. Well, how many did you have on Sunday morning? How many did you have on Sunday night? How many did you have on Wednesday night? You see, they want you to ask them that, but they want to ask me. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Hey, we may not run 1,000, but praise God, we're going to get the truth around here if you don't get nothing else. Right. Amen. Just because a preacher drives a nicer car somewhere else don't mean that's the place to go. Right. Just because they got a bigger choir, got a better looking clientele. Amen. I'm satisfied with the clientele we got here. Amen. Hey, Elijah had a very practical idea. He said, look, he said, tell you what we're going to do. He said, since y'all can't decide what y'all want, and you can't decide what kind of religion you want, and you can't decide exactly which way you ought to go, he said, let's build two altars, and I tell you what, you get your crowd together and let them pray, and then I'll pray after y'all get done. I'll let y'all go first, and whichever one of our gods sends fire down from heaven, he said, that'll be the one that we will accept. And can we all acknowledge that whoever answers with fire, that's got to be God? That sounds like a pretty practical way to look at it, doesn't it? Can we say today, let me just switch this thing around. You say, okay, I'm trying to decide whether I ought to follow Granny's God or follow Uncle Bobo's God. Now, when Granny died, Granny went out with a smile on her face with her hands held up toward heaven saying, Lord, I'm coming home. And Bobo died, and Bobo didn't want the preacher, and Bobo didn't even have no preacher. The preacher said nothing nice over him. And Bobo, everybody talks about how sorry Bobo was when he died. And when Bobo died, he died in torments and fear of taking his last breath here because he knew hell was at home. Now, you decide which one you want.
That's right. Preach.
I believe I'll go with something that seemed like it's the real thing to me. Hey, I tell you what, I've seen lost folk die, and I've seen saved folks die, and saved folks die different than lost folks do. So Elijah said, we'll get it all done. He said, we'll work it all out. And then, you know how the story ends. Elijah, the God, Jehovah God, the only God, the big G God, answered with fire. Now that crowd's already said, now whoever God answered with fire, so that's the God we're going to serve. But guess what? They backed out on the deal. That's what happens a lot of times among New Testament so-called Christians today is, like the fellow on the airplane that was flying somewhere, and the plane got to running real rough and rocky, and it got in a lot of turbulence, and he was a big businessman, multi-millionaire, and he said, oh God, if you let this plane land safely, I'll give you half of everything I got. Plane just leveled out. Landed just as smooth as silk. There was a Baptist preacher sitting behind him, and he stood up, and the plane landed and shook the man's hand. He said, sir, he said, I'm Pastor so-and-so. He said, I heard what you asked God for. And he said, praise God, I'm rejoicing about that right now. He said, well, don't get too excited, preacher. I made a better deal. He said, what do you mean you made a better deal? He said, I promised God if I ever got on another one of these things, y'all could have it all. But isn't that the way people act today? They get a little pain. They get a little bad doctor's report. Their young'uns get in trouble. They got one in jail. They got one on crack cocaine. They'll run down to the house of God and squall and snot and sling slobber everywhere like old bull at the rodeo. Fall on the altar. Oh God, I'm sorry. I know I need to be in your house like a. Oh, I'm gonna pay all my back ties. Oh, I'm gonna be faithful to the house of God. And then Junior gets out of jail. And Sissy goes in rehab, and you can't find none of them with a search warrant from the FBI. They promised God, they'd serve God, and then when God answered, they said, well, I tell you, I really wasn't that serious about that thing now. I mean, because I got things I want to do. I mean, Brother James preached on Solomon this morning, so he had Solomon's problem. Solomon had too many things he wanted to do. Hey man, I'm telling you what, we got too many things we want to do. You know why the house of God ain't full this morning? And I know we got people traveling and stuff like that, and I don't begrudge them that. Hallelujah. I wish I was in Alaska this morning. But I'll tell you what, it's a sad day when we got so many things to do that we can't be in the house of God like we're supposed to. Amen. Hey, but they said, we're going to get faithful. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. And then they don't do what they're supposed to do. That's what happened in Elijah's day. But guess what? That ain't the end of the story, as Paul Harvey said. Elijah said, I tell you what, since you've promised me and you promised God, said if God had answered with fire, you'd serve him, you'd say he's God. You didn't do it. I tell you what, dude, get that whole crowd together. He told his helpers, he said, get that whole crowd together and take them down to the creek down yonder. Take them down to the Eno and kill every one of them right then. Now, if we said that this morning, you say, wait a minute, I want to get saved. Because you don't want to die and go to hell.
I ain't never seen, I'll tell you what, I've dealt with mentally ill people, I've dealt with drug addicts, alcoholics, you name it, I've dealt with them over the years. I have never yet seen anybody, I saw one man one time, he was distraught because his wife had got killed in an automobile accident, and she was lost, and he knew she was lost because they'd been going to church, but neither one of them accepted Christ, and he said, I want to go to hell so I can be with my wife. When we explained to him what hell was, he said, I want to get saved. He said, my wife wouldn't want me to go to that awful place like she's in right now. But see, I've never seen even a mentally ill person say, well, I want to go to hell when I die. You can't get that mentally off. I ain't saying you can't get depressed. I can't say you ain't going to get discouraged sometimes. But I'll tell you what, you ain't going to never get that far off the bubble. Amen? Well, let's see. Where was that? I done lost all my notes. I have no idea what I'm supposed to say. I think I know what God wants me to say, but I want to try to make sure I ain't left nothing out right here. Amen. You see, that crowd in Elijah's day, they wanted Aladdin in a lamp. They wanted a genie in a bottle. They wouldn't settle down nowhere. Elijah said, why halt you between two opinions? You're hopping here, you're hopping there. He said, you want to take God out and play with Him when you want Him. You want to take Him out when you need Him. And you put Him back neatly in the bottle till you need Him again. That's like 911 religion. That's like people, like I said a while ago, come running to the house of God when they have a little pain, when they get a little bad news from the doctor. I talked to somebody the other day, and I hadn't seen him in the church in about 6 or 7 years, and come to find out somebody, he's sick. Now, it's sad when it's that way, but you know, some people, you see them coming, you say, well, I wonder what's wrong now. Amen. We've had people bounce in, and every church has it. It's not just us. People bounce in, bounce out, bounce in, bounce out. Hey, that is the nature of the human mind. Because people halt, they jump, hop, 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 hop. Hey, the same people that stand in here and shout on Sunday morning or go by the Catholic church over there on 57 and say, boy, look at that one. Isn't that wonderful, that big crowd they have over there? I say, I think it's awful. I think they're sending people to hell by the boxcar loads. I don't think it's nothing in the world for me to be excited about. Amen. That's just like people look at my sister and they say, boy, we just think it's wonderful the family values that the Mormons have. Don't you think it's wonderful? I said, no, I don't think it's wonderful at all. I said, they might have some good ideas about things, and they might be more moral than some of the Baptists are, but they're going to hell by the bushel basket full because they believe in a false God. Amen. They do not believe in Jehovah God. They got a bunch of do's and don'ts, and if I dress this way and act this way and give all my money to the church, I'll be okay. Praise God, some of y'all can never be Mormons, I can tell you that. After 7 years, you got to sign over everything you own to the church. I didn't know that, did you? I know some of them be just devout, strict as they can be. When about 6.5 years hits, they start drinking coffee again, drinking iced tea, put their makeup on, and the women put their pants back on. And I ain't got nothing against women wearing pants, but I think it's kind of odd that you do all their rules and their do's and don'ts until you get ready to have to sign over everything you got. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm having a good time this morning. I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 24 with me. Boy, the plow's in deep this morning, folks. I feel sorry for y'all. Honey, I may have to go to urgent care after church after all. Because I'll tell you what, my throat's... See, there might be a brain infection, I don't know. I'm joking, I done had one of them. You say, maybe that's what's wrong with me. Y'all, it took a whole lot more educated folks than y'all to try to figure out what's wrong with me. Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. That's the last chapter in the book of Joshua. Joshua's giving some very important instructions here. Joshua's getting ready to check out pretty much. He's reading his last will and testament. He's telling these people what he wants them to remember him by. He says right here, he says in verse number 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods, little g, which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, let's look at his situation for a minute. We've looked at Elijah. Now, we see here another type of person in Joshua's day. We see the folks in Elijah's day. We had some that really believed, and you had some that just far out in left field. But I believe in Joshua's day, we see the same type folk, a picture of the New Testament church. As a group of folks here, good folks, let me say, you must decide, like in Elijah's crowd, if you're hopping from one thing to another, they're all for it today and against it tomorrow. One day they're going to follow the pastor, next week they ain't sure. Amen. See, the nation of Israel is at a crossroads, and Joshua has really brought them about as far as he's going to be to go. And he makes a great statement, you have got to decide. Now, that's where we are today, folks. You have got to decide. You say, you act like the Lord's coming back before you get done. He might. You've got to decide. Are you going to serve the idols or the gods of the past? Are you going to serve Jehovah God? Right. Now, we see that every day. Right. Folks in church are still holding on. They're still following their little dumb idols. False gods, old ideas, superstitions. Amen. Right. Look, I want to look with me if you want to. If you're real fast, look with me. I ain't going to wait for you. I'm trying to find it myself. I went over there and marked all these things out. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14. Now this is the church bunch. Ephesians 4 and 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He says right here, he said, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That is America 2013 right there. Hey, you can have, they could some moron come in Hillsburg, set up a tent and have him a little healing service and sell vials of holy water or vials of water where they said it'd heal you, and people would be lined up waiting to get in there and get the mess. And it'd be some of the same people that have sit in churches this morning and heard the truth. Now that's sad, isn't it? But isn't it true? How many times you've ever seen it? I've seen it again. Some little something will blow through. Somebody will see something on TV. Somebody called me one night and said, did you hear there's a thing on TV about they found a gospel of Judas? I said, how can Judas write a gospel when Judas wasn't even saved? Well, it's on TV. I said, that don't make it so. I seen the other day where they got a pill that'll make your hair turn from gray back to whatever color it was. It's too late. I don't care about my gray hair. They said if you'll send them a bunch of money, they'll go, Brother James, they'll go back here behind your ear and they'll pull some hairs out and they'll inject them right here. It'd be like plugging a yard and hope it all goes together. You know what your luck would be? It'd come out and be green right there like a horn. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you today, folks, it's sad to say, and we get a little laugh right there, but that's the church bunch. They don't know what they believe. They're just hopping around. That's that this ain't sure if I'm saved crowd. They're tossed to and fro. You see, then you like the idea of being saved. You like the title of Christian, but you won't serve God. You want all the benefits, but you won't show up for work. Joshua said, you got to decide. Amen. He said, you're going to have to decide. How many of you have ever heard this? Put your money where your mouth is. That means put something with what you say and don't just run your mouth about it. What you going to do about it? Hey, man, that's that crowd. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. I'm your pastor, but I can't think for you. And I can't make you do. Joshua said, as for me and my house, that's all a bunch I can count for is me and mama. Somebody said, are you sure your wife's saved? I said, I'm not sure my wife's saved. I am. I'm saved. And I know I'm saved. Hey, man, you hang around her long enough, you come to me and you say, I don't believe your wife's saved. I'm going to bust you in the nose, number one. But then I'm going to tell you, you are retarded in your thinking because I'm going to tell you what, and I'm not, I am bragging on my wife. She's one of the most godly women I know. Yes, Welcome Baptist Church got a prize when they got her. They didn't get much when they got me, but they got a prize when they got her. Amen. That's a man talking what Joshua said right there. He said, I don't know about what y'all going to do, but I know what we're going to do down at our place. Mm-hmm. Amen. So you got those outside, Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You got those outside. Then you got those inside. That's Joshua and the nation of Israel. Can we look at one more real quickly here? Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. Let's see if we can get over here and we'll try to find a place to unhitch this wagon and I'm just trying to mind God this morning, and I know you think that I'm just mean and evil and wicked, and you can just pray for me if that's the way you really feel. I'm not trying to be that way. I'm not. I'm trying to help you. It becomes more and more real to me every day that this every time I stand in the pulpit could be my last time. It could be my last chance. You say, well, you sick? No, I ain't no sicker than I usually am. I just know the reality and the brevity of life. Right. And I could go out of here and be killed in an automobile accident. I ain't never had no heart trouble. I could have a heart attack. Brother Bill Pickle's mother, same exact, almost to the time of day in the hospital like my mother. Went in the hospital just feeling bad. Had a cold she couldn't shake. Found out she had pneumonia. Died just a few days later. If anybody would have asked last Sunday when she left church, they would have said, we'll see you next Sunday. We'll see you next Sunday, sister. We'll see you Wednesday night, sis. Then she ends up in the hospital now. They buried her on Tuesday. I went up there for my friend's mother's funeral on Tuesday, South Carolina. The brevity of life. You see, you never know when your time's going to be. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning. If I wanted to scare you, I'd show you a movie or something like that to scare you because I ain't in the scaring business. I'm just telling you, this is reality. Hey, I've buried little babies in boxes that big, and I've buried full-grown folks, and I've buried all sizes in between. And I tell you what, there ain't nothing in the world that says, well, I'm young, I got plenty of time, or I'm old, I'm in good health, I got plenty of time. If you had asked Miss Pickle that, she said, other than my eyes, I'm doing good. Every time I'd go up there and she'd have to get real close to you. I guess she had macular degeneration or whatever, but everything was getting to be real blurry and she'd see men as trees but she knew my voice and she'd take me by my shoulders. Honey, every time I'd see her and she said, good to see you, Preacher Fawcett. Said, I'm doing good other than my eyes. That's what she'd say every time. And you know, when she left church that Sunday, last Sunday morning, she told somebody, I'm doing good other than my eyes. In Acts chapter 26, verse number 29, Paul says, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul's in jail here, and he's been summoned to come before the king. And at that time, he was able to present his defense as to why he had the faith that he had. And the famous Agrippa stands today as a sounding cry of many that are lost and on their way to a devil's hell. when Paul said, look with me, let's back up a minute. Verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, almost, almost, Paul. And then Paul turns around and he said, almost and altogether. He said, I wish you were just like me, King, except for these chains. He said, King, I've got more freedom living in Christ than you'll ever have being the King. He said, I would to God that you wore these rags of a prisoner. I wish you had on this orange jumpsuit today. I wish you was eating these meals like I'm eating today. I wish you could sleep in the dungeon with me. I wish you knew Jesus, King Agrippa. I wish you knew the freedom that I had. But see, that's what people say today. Almost, not today, maybe another time. You see, Agrippa wasn't really truly considering the testimony of Paul. He'd heard him preach. He'd heard what he had to say. Amen. You see, Paul didn't tiptoe through the tulips like we do today. Paul was a lot like John the Baptist. And what John the Baptist told that call that crowd a bunch of snakes. Amen. They cut his head off because he preached against adultery. Amen. They just whacked his head off and put it on a big platter and took it back into the big party. You see, a lot of folks today are not even almost. They're just hopping around. They listen to me preach. They listen to Jehovah's Witness. They listen to Mormons. They listen to the Buddhist crowd. They listen to anybody. Amen. And hell's full tonight, today, of people with an almost Christianity. That's four scriptures. And I could have picked so many more. Because mankind's always had to decide. It's always been decisions that's got to be made. I preached on making decisions Wednesday night. It's always, you'll have to make some kind of decision today. If it's something as simple as what you want for lunch, you'll make some kind of decision today. Yeah. We've made a lot of decisions this week, me and my wife had. We've had to do a lot of things. We've had to make a lot of decisions. No doubt you have too. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest decision you'll ever make is whether you're going to receive Christ or not. Which God you going to serve? You going to keep hopping around, jumping back and forth? You're in today, you're out tomorrow. It's whatever, ever which way the wind's blowing, ever how you feeling. Now in closing, I wonder today, are you really just hopping around from limb to limb? You trying to decide whether you're going to do, what you're going to do, who's right, who's wrong? I'm going to give you one more reference. Don't turn over there, but... No, that ain't it. I thought I had it marked. Got too many marks up here. This last minute stuff, hard on old man. 1 Corinthians 13 is where I'm going to look at. 1 Corinthians 13:11, the Word of God says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Say, well, preacher, I'm not a man yet. I'm not a woman. I'm not grown. I still got time. I can still enjoy life. I can still do my own thing. Well, you're come to a place of spiritual maturity when you realize, well, I'm not saved. So if I'm either saved or I'm lost, then I must be lost. You've had that maturity level that you need. It's time for some of y'all to get out of your childish ways. You ain't never sure about nothing. You want to act all churchy around the church crowd. Then you want to just be as happy around the worldly crowd. You come in here and sing Amazing Grace. You go out and live like a yard dog all week. I'd preach it. I've lived it. I've been there, done that. Amen. Hey, I could get on that pew and sing with the best of them. I knew where the books in my Bible was. I could find that reference. I could follow along with the preacher. I'd even sit there and squeeze out amen every now and then. And I'd go out and drink my beer and live worldly all week long and then run back into church on Sunday morning and say, "Oh Lord, I'll never do that again. If you help me, I'll never do that again." And then I'd go back 2 weeks later and I'd do the same thing again. Then I'd run back and, "Lord, I ain't gonna never do that again. I ain't gonna help me. I ain't gonna never do that again. Help me. I ain't gonna never do that again." You know what it took for me? It took God to smoke my child, to put my child in the Durham Regional Hospital, and the doctor standing back saying, "We've done everything. We don't know anything else to do. There's nothing else we can do. She has a fever. We can't break it. She had an ear infection. It got so bad it poisoned her blood. The doctor said she may die." And that's when I heard that old verse come back to my mind, Diane. "How long halt you between two opinions, big boy? You want to live for me on Sunday and then live with your crowd all week long? How long you going to halt between two opinions? Decide what you going to do." And I fell on a cold tile floor in the Durham Regional Hospital and begged God. I was already saved. I was already saved, as saved as I am today, but I got so far away from God, I didn't care about nothing no more but what I wanted. I was one of them ones, Brother James. I've been preaching that series, and I was going to finish it this morning, but God wouldn't let me. Oh, when He gives them up, He done give me up. He said, "You so hard-headed, you're going to do what you want to do? Go ahead, let's try it your way and see how it works out for you." And I really believe with all of my heart, and I'm not pulling on nobody's heartstrings this morning, honey. She can stand and testify the facts of what I give them today. If I hadn't got right with God that day, I'd have buried my baby within a week. Within 3 days. You say, "Well, what happened?" "Well, God took me back." Hallelujah. Glory to God. He restored me. He put my feet back on a solid rock. But you know what? I couldn't go back and do that other mess no more. Remember I said there's 3 steps down away from God. I was on that first step. And when he let me turn around and come back up, I said, "I've been warning people about them 3 steps ever since then." Great. I say, have you warned anybody about anything? I've been warning people about, "Hey, don't go that way." I told countless men, "Don't go that way. I've done it. I've tried it. It don't work. It don't go that way. It's going to cost you everything you got." Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. It's a great debate, isn't it? It's a great debate. God, give me this message back during the presidential election. I never watched them debates. I thought they're going to say what they want to anyway to get you vote. Don't make no difference. They just pandering to the crowd. They just going to answer whatever they think people want to hear. I'm asking you this morning one more time, how many times you going to halt between two opinions? How many times are you hopping back and forth? You say, "Well, I know I probably ought to be saved, preacher. I know I get all that. When I get old and I'm feeble and I ain't got nothing else to do, I'll give it a little more thought then." You very well may not make that time. Your time's today. The Bible tells us that today's the day of salvation. I wouldn't put it off any longer. You hear this morning, and you say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me." Slip up your hand. Anyone like that? "I need you to pray for me. I see those hands. Bless your heart. I see those hands. I do. When you hear this morning, you say, "Preacher, I don't raise your hand. Just listen to me. Listen to me all the way through." You say, "I know I'm saved, preacher, but I tell you what, I'd hate to meet God the way I am right now. Boy, I just hate to meet God in the situation I'm in right now. It'd just be awful to have to hear. It'd be awful to have to see the pain on the Savior's face in the shape I'm in right now." Anyone like that? Slip up your hand. Be honest. I see that hand. Bless your heart. There's another one. Another one. Bless your heart. Let's all stand quietly to our feet. If you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure about my salvation. I want to get it settled right now, today. I want you to come. I want you to come right by up here where my wife is and take my wife's hand. And you come right over here in the corner. We'll not make no big show of it. She'll do her best to help you. I saw her do it to a young girl in Montana last month. God took us all the way across the country so some little 14-year-old girl could get assurance of her salvation. The preacher had begged and pleaded and prayed for her to get assurance because he knew she didn't have none. took old slobbering, spitting preacher from North Carolina to come, and God's message drilled at home. If you need to come, you come. We're not going to tarry long. Some are praying. If you need to pray, you pray. I love you this morning, folks. I do. I tell you what, I would not put myself through this torment every day, every week. I wouldn't. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't do this. I'd quit tomorrow. I'm so tired and I'm so weary and I'm so sick. Every week I come in this building and I get physically sick in my body because of the awesomeness of this moment right now. And I know that every week people will walk out of that door, they have no more assurance than they did when they walked in it. And the sad part is, they don't care. Let me ask you this. I'm going to be done in a minute. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get done. I have life insurance. A life insurance on my wife. But if I come down and they found out today that I had a deadly illness, or if I was in an automobile accident or some accident happened, and they told my wife, they said, if he's not any better in 3 days, there's nothing we can do. Death will be sure, and death will be certain. You know what I would expect my wife to do? I would expect her to call Jeff Utrell, my insurance man, and say, Jeff, it's just awful. John's going to die by the end of the week. No doubt the doctors have given up all hope, and if God doesn't intervene, he'll die. I want to make sure, is his life insurance policy still in full effect? I want to make sure that everything's in order before the time comes. Anybody with any common sense would do that, wouldn't they? If you found out today you had cancer and the doctor said you got 6 months to live, you'd be calling around. You'd be like my daddy was. What do we need to do, son? You'd be going down to the funeral home and telling them what you wanted done. You'd be making sure that everybody knew where your important papers was. You'd be telling everybody you needed to tell what you needed to tell them. But yet, I've told you the truth today, that the Lord's coming back real soon. If you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. You may be saved and you're just not sure. In that case, you won't be left behind. You just ain't going to be very happy between now and then. I'd rather be happy between now and then, wouldn't you? I'm enjoying what God's done for me. And I ain't going to let nobody take that away from me. And it's like I said, I spent the last many years of my life